Proust. Marcel Proust.
Hmm.
Many years ago, he came up with some answers to a questionnaire. And these answers to this questionnaire, they were supposed to be the insights to one's soul. And if we're taking apart the soul of a podcaster, the soul is deep.
Mm.
Or it once was deep. But the landscape has changed in the world of podcasting. But there are still some remnants and some real podcasters walking around just dragging the chains of their mortal coil on this planet. So I would like to get to the heart of one podcaster. Mark Chambers.
Yes, sir.
Would you answer the Proust questionnaire?
I think I will.
Will you stand up for podcasters of your generation and answer these questions in an honest fashion?
I will, and I think it's important. You know, I think it's good to look and see exactly what's there and maybe delve into what's missing.
Yeah.
And I think we can reveal that here. And if not, it's an exploration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just explore it.
Yeah.
The first question in the Proust questionnaire is, what is your idea of perfect happiness?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think I'm most happy and I'm most kind of one with myself and who I really want to be when I'm right here. I've got a full prep sheet in front of me.
Yeah, so you prepped for this show. Like, you actually thought about what you were going to say before you came into the studio today.
I've got prep, yeah. And wow. And I've got
not a lot of people have prep.
Full prep, full beer.
Wow.
Cans on.
Yeah.
You know.
Ready to look into the oblivion.
Yeah. Rebel without a producer.
The original kings of podcasting, starring Mark Chambers and Todd Perry. Episode 1, Proust.
What is your most marked characteristic, Mark?
Ed. I would probably have to say eyebrows.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are strong eyebrows.
They're strong without, they try not to be too aggressive, but they've got that thing they kind of do on the one. It kind of looks up towards the stars.
Yeah.
It kind of keeps me grounded, but also helps me, you know, look upward.
You have one eye. And the space in between both eyebrows, as we were talking before about what's not being said sometimes is just as important as what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
The pure white pasty skin in between the two eyebrows with nary a hair inside.
Mm, yes. No unibrow.
No.
No. These are two separate independent eyebrows. They don't need each other.
No.
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 No, no.
What happened to that music?
Oh, no. We can bring that back.
Okay.
Oh, well,
No, that's not what we were going for.
This is... We can try. Okay, so we'll continue.
Okay.
We'll continue. Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I'm having a hard time keeping in the zone. So what's your greatest fear, Mark Chambers?
Sometimes I worry that I'm going to run out of the piano music bed too soon.
Which just happened.
So I guess you could say my greatest fear is being realized currently.
So you are right now in a pool of fear?
I am enveloped by fear.
Oh. But those eyebrows just staying above water?
Yeah, they keep me focused. They, you know, it's important that they stay up and they stay sharp, especially this one right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice and sharp.
One to the right.
Yeah, it's...
Your left.
It's my left, yeah.
But it's my right.
Mm. Anyway, here we go. I think this might be a little better.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Oh, well, we'll keep going.
I feel like it's Taco Tuesday in the Midwest when I hear this song.
We have to stay focused.
Mark Chambers, what historical figure do you most identify with as a historical podcaster?
I would say, if if Gandhi had been the first man to walk on the moon. So like a like a Gandhi-ish Neil Armstrong.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe mixed with a little I don't know. Maybe a little Genghis Khan.
Oh, a little bit.
Just a little. Just
I've
a
seen
touch.
That. I've seen that, actually. Yeah, I've seen the Genghis Khan in action.
Just a touch.
Yeah.
So I would say all three of those, kind of, if they were fused together in a machine, like in The Fly.
Okay.
Yeah. If you went and rounded them all up in a time machine and then fused them all together.
Now, do you come out sounding like Jeff Goldblum? We're like, I'm turning into a fly, and an eye for an eye leads the whole world blind.
I feel like you're distracting from the very seriousness of my answer with your Jeff Goldblum references.
I'm just trying to get to the heart of who is Mark Chambers. Mm. Now, the thing is, the Neil Armstrong part of you is your left eyebrow,
right?
The one correct. That is looking towards the sky,
to the moon.
Yes,
the moon,
and the place of peace. Mm-hmm. The white skin above the nose in between the eyebrows, that's Gandhi.
So white.
Yeah.
Unlike Gandhi, but, you know, spiritually like Gandhi.
Spiritually white.
Yeah.
We can't edit that. There's a music bed.
Mm.
What trait do you most deplore in yourself?
The occasional accidental racism.
Yes. I have that problem myself, but I can't answer these questions yet.
No. We haven't turned the lens to face you yet.
The lens is completely this way.
It's focused.
I'm on the dark side of the moon right now in terms of the lens.
Okay.
You can't... there could be water here. No
idea.
There's a
300-degree difference between sunlight and shadow on the moon.
Yes.
The Neil Armstrong part of me knows that.
And I'm also on the part where there are Soviet missiles.
Oh, God.
Waiting. Just waiting.
That's a myth.
Now, what trait do you most deplore in others?
Now.
Oh, wow. You got it.
This is called for now.
Yeah.
We just have to bring it back a little bit.
This is like a fake version of the intro song to Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. This is Corgan's nephew on piano.
The trait I most deplore in others is, unfortunately, the fact that they exist.
Oh.
I mean, I can appreciate...
So it's not elements of people, it's just the entirety.
The mere existence of people.
Okay.
I struggle.
Yeah.
Those who are close to me know that I very frequently wish they weren't quite so close to me.
Right. Sometimes you wish that they were... Do you not see them sometimes? Are they just completely transparent to you? It's like they're like Wonder Woman's space vehicle.
That's actually terrestrial. It's a jet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It can't leave the atmosphere.
Okay.
If you know about how jets work, they do require air.
Well, as the Neil Armstrong part of you would understand that.
Yeah, because to get to space, you have to go through the air.
Okay.
I saw that in a tweet once.
The ether?
Mm. I've never, you know, sampled ether.
Ether.
No.
It makes
before
your legs,
my time.
Makes your legs do crazy things.
Mm.
The legs are a chicken with the head cut off. Your torso though becomes like Groot. That's the ether challenge. Mm. What do you consider the most overrated virtue?
Sloth.
Oh. Mm. Well, no, I wouldn't call sloth a virtue.
Oh.
Unless, you know...
I may have misunderstood the question.
You're into that kind of thing. I mean, there is a virtue sometimes in doing nothing. I can appreciate that. There is a virtue in lack of effort from time to time, and I'm sure the Gandhi portion of your psyche...
I appreciate that the most with that side of me.
The lack of material possessions and sloth go hand in hand.
I would say the most overrated virtue, chastity.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. If I had to really pick one.
Now, you've never tried to be chaste yourself in your professional life or in your... Have you made attempts towards chastity?
I've looked into it.
Yeah.
I have the Wikipedia page for the word chastity in my little hot bar at the top of Chrome there.
Yes. Yeah.
So I've clicked on it a few times.
That's the first Chrome reference of many, I feel.
Many.
will be happening on the original Kings of Podcasting.
Many Chrome references.
Yes.
I like Chrome. It's good.
We're coming down to our final two questions in the Proust questionnaire, which I believe have been very revealing about Mark.
Mm.
You see he has a three-chambered psyche.
Yes.
Part Neil Armstrong.
That's right.
Part Genghis Khan. Part Gandhi.
That's right.
Mahatma.
Mm.
And also part Jeff Goldblum, which is the fullness.
That's the outer shell that kind of brings them all together.
This is the gold bloom.
The gold bloominess of it all.
He'll be performing tonight, actually, at the Jazz Bakery in L.A.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little piano. What's your greatest regret?
That's a big question.
You know, these are all big questions.
Is it big?
To say one is greater than the other would be slap in the face of Marcel Proust.
Greatest regret. Mm. Greatest regret.
I can name a couple.
Mine.
I keep a list of your regrets in my back pocket.
So I was in Vegas once.
Oh.
And I made some time with
you
a
bet lady. On red?
I made some time with a lady. Just, you know, out at a party.
Was she a chaste woman?
Attractive woman.
Yes.
Lived in another state.
Nevada?
No, that would be the state we were in. Mm. A third state, other than the one I was from and the one we were in.
Okay.
And I got a text from her.
Oh.
Around midnight.
And it said?
Are you up?
And obviously you...
I was.
Yeah.
I was. I was playing Xbox in my hotel room.
Oh.
And she said, all my friends went to bed, but I'm still awake.
What do you think she was getting at with this text? Because it seems completely cryptic to me.
I will never know, because I said, I'm kind of tired. I think I might call it a night.
But you gave her some weasel room with the kinda, saying, could you reveal your intentions by elaborating on the kinda?
And she did.
Oh.
And I said...
Did she just send you a picture of one hand making a zero and the other with a finger going in and out?
Well, the zero, the classic 0-1 pattern,
binary.
As a computer scientist, I appreciate it. But alas, she continued to elude, not wanting to openly admit that she was not a chaste woman.
Yes, well, I mean, that's... She was denying... The virtue.
I believe after the back and forth of I'm not leaving my room, her response was, ha ha, wow, okay, damn. And that remains to this day one of my greatest regrets.
Do you just have, is that the last, I'm assuming that's the last text you have with that lady from the third state.
Yes. Yes, unfortunately.
That you just, so if you go to message her at any point, you just see that, okay, wow, damn.
Now, that's correct.
What is the quality you most admire in a woman?
Forthrightness.
Yes. The final question. What is your motto?
That's a big one.
Is that your motto? That's a big one?
Sic semper tyrannis.
What? Is that like a Harry Potter thing?
Sic semper tyrannis.
Is that a Marine thing?
It's what John... Yes, it was. It's what John Wilkes Booth yelled when he shot Lincoln.
Okay. So your problem is with Northern aggression is your issue?
I'm not a fan of Northern aggression.
You're being very cryptic with your answer and your stance on Northern aggression. You said earlier that you deplored your potential internal racism.
I'm at odds with myself over this one.
It's what the Proust questionnaire is designed to do, Mr. Chambers.
Expose the darker shades of your soul.
Yes. I think we have. I think we've exposed the lighter shades of your soul, which is the problem.
It feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good.
It's good to have it out there. That's a real podcaster. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Now I feel like the lens is being turned.
And we have to turn it ever so slightly.
Can I have the music?
Oh, yes. No, wait.
Wait. That's still royalty-free, right?
This is all... this is a 100% royalty-free show.
Cut. Yeah. You know, like some shows are like, oh, this is union, this is non-union. This is completely royalty-free.
This is royalty-free.
Which means that you could actually, the listener, post this anywhere you like and you won't get hosed for it.
Yeah.
This
is OG.
Yeah. We're the original kings of podcasting.
That's correct. The original kings always do it royalty free.
That's right.
Wait. Anyway.
Really shot ourselves in the foot with that, you know.
That last one.
I like the fact that this entire show is based on the fact that we came up with a good title for a podcast and decided it needed to be recorded before somebody else used the title.
That's correct.
Yes.
All right. Now, Todd.
Yeah. Yes, Mark.
That guy that came up with this questionnaire.
Proust.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. No, he just answered it.
The guy that answered this.
Some French intern wrote it in a paper in the 1800s, I think.
Todd Perry.
Yes, Mark Chambers.
What is your idea of perfect happiness?
When I think of my happiest moments of the last 17, 18, 19, 20 years, the surprise gift of a nocturnal emission would be my ideal of true happiness. I had one recently, and I was the joy of the nocturnal emission is you're part of it. You get so ramped up internally that part of you wants to wake up and deny yourself the pleasure of the nocturnal emission.
Mm.
So you're mastering sleep.
Mm.
When you master sleep, you master consciousness.
Oh, wow.
And during my last one, I had...
Your last one? I like that you keep track.
Yes.
Do you have a diary?
My nocturnal emission diary.
Mm.
It's actually my live journal. And
nocturnal-emissions.livejournal.com.
Yes. WordPress/...
It's strong.
I had a 19-year-old Muriel Hemingway.
Wow.
In a bathroom position like Michelle Williams on Girls the other day.
The bathroom position.
And I carried it through.
You stayed asleep.
But I mastered the...
Being able to see it through to completion in the dream...
As a married man sharing a bed with a woman and two dogs.
That's a strong move. That's a closer move.
It took a year off my life. It's kind of like when Paul Muad'Dib has his hand in the box in Dune and his hand is on fire.
Mm.
And he keeps it in there.
Yeah.
I stayed in sleep.
So what does that feel like? Not to go too deep. We'll move on in a moment.
An orgasm?
We'll move on now.
My personal orgasms.
Todd Perry.
My toes curl.
What is your most... Well, you may have spoiled it, but what is your most marked characteristic?
I'm balding.
Mm.
I feel people notice that first.
Well, not when you wear such delightful fisherman's hats.
Yes. The delightful fisherman's hat works as a buffer between judging me initially and then... I pull off the fisherman's hat and people go, it's very confident for a balding man.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yes.
You know, because I may be standing next to another confident man. And if we have equal levels of confidence, I'm immediately 15 times more confident than that man.
Mm.
But I'd say it's the thing people most recognize of me. They say he has a large forehead.
There is a lot of it.
Yeah.
I see the way you wear the hat gently covers the first maybe 40% of it. Yeah.
I don't want to put it on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would feel very put upon if I had to look at it.
But it's like staring at bonk.
So as we transition into another delicious royalty-free music bed.
I like this.
What is your greatest fear, Todd Perry?
Getting caught.
Getting caught stealing?
There are myriad things I do on a daily basis which could involve me being caught. You know, whether it's by the police, whether it's by my wife, whether it's by my dogs on occasion.
Mm.
Ever been caught by your dog?
Those judgmental faces.
Yes.
They didn't know daddy did that.
Yes. there are many things I could be caught for. And just in general, I have about 15 things I'm trying to juggle hiding.
Mm.
So yes,
so you're a very shady individual.
Yes. Well, I'm a married man.
Mm.
We can't live our lives in the light.
You live them in the shadows.
Yes.
In the dark alleys.
A bachelor can live his life completely in the light of the sun.
Yes.
Married man retreats to the dark like a rat in the subway.
With the utmost humility, the original kings of podcasting request that their subjects follow them on Twitter at OG Kings of Pod, like them on Facebook at the original kings of podcasting, and visit their website at ogkings.com.
Now, Todd.
Yes, Mark.
What historical figure do you most identify with?
Nanak of the North.
I'm going to need some background.
Nanak of the North was an Inuit man who was the source of the first ever documentary in the 1920s.
Hmm.
And they went up to the Arctic and they met a man named Nanak who lived with his wife in an igloo. And they followed his everyday domestic lives and found that he was a provider. He was a man who made light in the darkest, most coldest of situations living up north. And I see that as I live in the suburbs of Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
Lakewood, California.
Yes.
I'm in a dark place. I'm in a cold place, a culturally desolate place.
Culturally, I was going to say, I had to take off my sweater.
It's very hot here.
But desolate.
Culturally desolate.
There's some deepness to that that we'll get into later. Probably not, but we could.
We could.
We could.
Hey, we can step into desolation much like you walk the moon. I also find that Nanak, they shined a light on his life when they made a documentary of him, and he was exposed.
Mm.
And I feel that when I'm, as a podcaster, as an original king of podcasting.
Now, Nanak. What is the trait you most deplore in yourself? Dig deep.
The other day when we were doing a test show for this show, and I had a mud butt.
Mm.
It brought me out of this situation.
Yes.
It brought me out of being in the moment, which as the Gandhi part of you, you appreciate being in the moment.
Yes.
I have this constant monkey on my back of constant colon-crushing diarrhea.
Mm.
And
now, is that code for a psychological problem?
No, it's actual diarrhea.
It's colon-crushing diarrhea.
Colon-crushing diarrhea. There's nothing Freudian about that.
Mm.
I'm not talking about my shadow.
Mm.
You know, oh, that's Jung. But what I'm saying is that diarrhea can take me out at any moment. I just go running. I run emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you say that when you're emotionally running in that situation,
I have the runs.
Yeah. Are you also, you're also physically running?
Yes.
So which gets there first?
My emotions get to the toilet before me usually.
Now, would you say that these are very, now these colon crushing bouts of diarrhea?
Yes.
Now, you use the word emotions.
Yes.
So, do you feel that perhaps it's a physical manifestation of all of your negativity and your angst and your anger, and that these are moments for you to emotionally cleanse into the toilet? All of that negativity and rawness and all the things you're hiding and all the guilt you feel for it, just all pushed out of the butthole.
Yes, I everything I'm hiding about and everything that I'm afraid of being caught about, because you're always caught when you have the diarrhea. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I spray, I emotionally spray.
Mm-hmm. And also
open the window.
Right.
Yeah. I still, everyone knows what happens. And sometimes my wife shames me after she comes in the bathroom and she says, "Oh God, really?"
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you have to light that emotional match and burn off All of those.
All the residue.
All the residue, all of the stray scent of that negativity.
And as the Fremen say, I cleanse the way.
Mm-hmm.
So it does eventually bring me back, but I'm just tired of going through the whole process
right.
of it. I want to be pure. I want to be clean and in front and present.
You need some fiber for the soul.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for understanding that. I feel that was more emotionally open than anything you'll get in modern podcasting.
Right.
As much as, you know, Mark Maron will come out and just complain about wanting to eat cookies.
Mm-hmm. We're about healing here.
Yes. This isn't about complaining. We're coming back the other end.
That's right. What is the trait you most deplore in others?
I deplore people that can put themselves together and conduct themselves in a dignified way.
Mm.
I find that you ever go to like a work meeting and some client comes in and the guy's got the perfectly coiffed hair, nice suit,
mm-hmm.
nothing's wrinkled,
mm.
everything's put together.
That's so annoying.
He's a consistent human being. He never, I feel like he never leaves the house going, did I lock the door?
No.
He never goes, did I feed the tortoise? He never goes, do my socks match?
He's never once opened his wallet to pull out a 20 for the valet and not had one be there.
Right. Yeah. No.
He knew he was going out. He right. went to the ATM.
Self-possessed.
Mm.
I deplore that in others.
Do you find that a lot? Do you encounter others that are like that?
Everyone.
Everyone is like that.
Besides myself is like that.
Everyone is like that.
I see everyone that way.
Mm.
I look at other people and I go, do they doubt their senses?
Mm.
I feel I'm the only person doubting my senses.
Got it.
Which is, again, like doubting colon control is something that puts you at a place of insecurity constantly.
What do you consider the most overrated virtue?
Consistency.
Well, fair. Surprisingly consistent with your previous answer.
Yes. Mm. Oh.
Oh, dear.
You just found a whole hole in me. Right now when you looked at me.
The light was too bright.
Yeah. I just scattered, like Tron.
Mm.
I just scattered into a million pieces in front of you.
It's just.
I need to reconstruct now.
This is the point. This is the digging we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what original kings of podcasting.
Yes.
Use as a baseline.
The Proust questionnaire made me deconstruct and reconstruct my whole sense of being on MP3.
What is your greatest regret?
Very similar to yours, I regret not sleeping with more people.
Mm. That's deep.
Every face I haven't slept with,
mm-hmm.
that I had the option of sleeping with,
right.
haunts me in my quiet hours.
Mm.
I see those faces. I see the big-assed girl I met on the Red Room on 4th Street in Long Beach, the big-ass Filipina that brought me into her pickup truck. And I think she was trying to go for the junk. And I sat there and I played dumb and readjusted the levels on her radio.
Mm.
So it was more balanced when she was driving to work the next day.
Oh, that's noble of you.
It was.
Mm.
But the more ignoble would have done her better. I wanted to disappoint her sexually, but I just couldn't bring myself to it.
Did you feel that you were sparing her the disappointment?
There was a moment of that. There was a moment of that. But also, it was an ass so big that it was out of my normal range of behavior.
Did you feel like perhaps your personality and your winningness had been writing checks that your penis size couldn't cash?
Yes, yes. Plus my ability to wrangle that ass.
Mm.
You know? My personality seemed like a man who could wrangle that in. They could grab the left cheek, grab the right cheek.
Really just bring it all together.
Spread. Get my face in there.
Yeah.
You know. But
you doubted yourself.
Yeah. That's self-doubt.
Mm.
But I didn't just kind of break into a billion pieces like the Death Star.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? At that moment.
Right.
I refocused
mm.
on the radio.
Laser-like.
Yes.
It brought you back to one of your true passions. Just fidgeting with knobs on a radio.
Sound.
What is the... I'm going to need this a little bit.
Yeah, can we have a little music? This is getting too intimate.
Mm.
I like this. I like this.
It feels good. It feels right.
This is... I don't know if I can... All right.
I need
to rally.
I need two more out of you.
Okay. Okay.
I need
good.
Two more out of you. Then the light will be turned off. Mm. We'll move it away.
Thank you.
And continue the show in murky darkness.
I can only die so many deaths today.
What is the quality you most like in a woman?
Self-satisfaction.
Oh.
A woman that can self-satisfy.
Mm.
It's like owning a Roomba, you know, just kind of self-cleans the room.
Right.
A self-satisfied woman doesn't have what I call white woman's Tourette's. And I fear I married a woman with it.
I'm going to need you to elaborate a little bit.
You've been with white women.
Mm.
Emotionally and romantically.
Yes. One or two.
There's a litany of just kind of random complaints that flow out of the mouth. Just, so my head hurts. Oh, you know, my hair's greasy. Oh, you know what? So what's going on? Oh, you know, you're going to dinner and it's like, oh, I don't know. I think I left something on the couch. It's just this kind of just weird Tourette's of complaints and dissatisfaction.
Right.
Emanate out of about every white woman I've ever met.
Right. It's a nonstop flow. And when it's not being vocalized,
yeah,
it's still going on.
Right. And
up top, if you say something that provokes a verbal reaction, it won't be to whatever you said. It'll just be, you know, switching on the delivery of the complaints.
So self-satisfaction would be something where that just ceases. Because even though I've gotten to the point in life where I just don't respond to it, its force is so powerful, the dissatisfaction in the heart of the white woman. You can't turn it off.
Very unfulfilled.
It's like controlling a river.
As a group, they're very unfulfilled.
They're an unfulfilled group. They don't know how good they have it.
Do you sometimes feel that if life had gone differently, if you'd been more self-realized early on,
yes,
that your true passion would have led you to a big-bootied black woman?
Yes. Mm. Completely satisfied.
Yes.
Completely. I would like it to switch, and it was a woman who was just professing her satisfaction constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Just large black woman Tourette's.
Damn.
It's like, damn, this is good. Damn, I feel good. And, you know, bringing me along. Come on, get with it, boy.
You come home, and she's not there because she's spirit walking.
Yes.
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 I think deep down we all want that.
We all want to embrace that.
Yes.
I had that woman in my life. Her name was Cookie. She was my drug dealer. Oh.
Mm. Now, Todd.
Yes, Mark.
What is your motto?
Don't worry about the mule going blind.
Mm.
Just keep loading the wagon.
Strong.
Much as we push through these topics, these questions today, the mule may have gone blind, but the wagon of pod keeps being loaded.
That's a noble virtue that you can find in the original Kings
of podcasting.
Ah. How do you feel?
Feeling good.
Excuse me.
I feel cleansed after all that, by the way.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to get it out there.
I feel that, you know what, the best way to come to a creative endeavor like this, like season one of the original Kings of Podcasting,
that's right,
is just to just get naked,
yeah,
just to complete, and then to then clothe ourselves in the next, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 episodes we're doing of this show.
Yeah, you just shake it off and you just get out there.
Yeah.
And how did this happen? What do we? This was like a drunken. We were out.
Yes.
Someone decided that this is. So I have a drunken Todd Perry, very drunken Todd Perry.
Right here, right now.
Well, no. This is. So we flashback the wavy lines and all that. We flashed back 80s VHS effect.
Yeah.
To a drunken Todd Perry with his arm around a much, much more drunken Mark Chambers.
Yes.
This was my going away party.
Yes, before you decide to move up to the Bay Area.
I live in San Francisco.
Which, to people who don't live in the LA area, they just assume it's like an hour away.
Right. No, not close.
Yeah.
Not close at all. California, big state.
Yeah.
Big state. We keep our blues separated with a healthy amount of red.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you got to drive through. To get there, red both in political persuasion and on the drought map.
Yeah,
very dry, very dry.
Right,
and so quite the distance. And I was about to go up there, and I get this drunken Todd Perry is around me and goes, "Hey, come here.
Hey, Mark. Hey, just
the original kings of podcasting."
Yes,
and I'm like, "What's that? What is that?" It's like, think about it.
Yeah, that was it. That's all I had.
And then just faded into the night.
That's all.
Just gone.
I just walked down 9th Street near Wilshire Boulevard out to my car.
Just to somewhere, nowhere in particular.
Like someone who just moved into your neighborhood dropping off a pie at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Ringing the doorbell and going.
Huh?
Yeah.
Original Kings.
And that got in your head. It created a worm.
It created a worm, and then I created a Google Doc.
And then we got into it.
Yeah, and then we got into it, and here we are. This is 4 months later. And here we are.
Now, there's a deeper story.
Mm.
Maybe a darker story.
A darker story.
Behind this that maybe goes about a year before that, because that was about 3 months ago. Maybe?
Yeah, three or 4 months ago, yeah.
We had that conversation.
Yeah.
We had seen each other since at a Raider game
yes.
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Had a good time at
that
the...
That was fun. I got so drunk I fell asleep fourth quarter, I think.
Oh, did you? Did we lose you a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
You didn't see Derek Carr's pass to James Jones in the end? No.
Someone asked me who they played and I didn't know.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a good fucking time.
Yeah, good time. Good vibes in the stands there.
Yeah. I got my Raider hoodie there.
You did. I really appreciated when you bought the Raider hoodie because that meant you were buying it. You know, you weren't just showing up to the game like, oh, I'm going to hang out with Todd and Oscar. You know, it's a hang.
Yeah.
You're like... Raider Nation.
Yeah, I wear it to work now.
That's good.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being part of a team.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, some people, you know, Democrats, some people Republicans, some people Catholics. Raider Nation kind of trumps it all.
It transcends.
All that.
Transcends.
Nationality.
I want to hear the Raider Nation answer the Proust questionnaire.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, we'd like to get Gorilla Rilla in here, the guy in the monkey suit, and have him get deep.
Mm.
Most questions would be like, I believe in the vertical passing game and the wisdom of Al Davis. So even before that, Mark and I was golfing in Palm Springs maybe about a year ago.
Okay.
I was staying with some friends and I was on the golf course with a buddy of mine and I was maybe about third, you know, fourth hole. I've got like a tall boy in me.
Sure.
I'm on the second tall boy and just, I mean, I'm in my element. You know, right past the nocturnal emission joy is the golfing in Palm Springs on a nice day with a friend.
There's a ranking.
Yes. And so the phone buzzes in the golf cart, and it's Mark. Mm. And Mark had like a three-sentence thing saying, I want to do a podcast about X, Y, and Z.
Oh, yeah.
And then immediately, the great thing is with working with Mark is Mark will have an idea, and then it opens a chamber in my head,
right,
as an original king of podcasting,
correct,
with this natural God-given ability to cast pod
and just generate content,
it just opened up, and then it was just like, oh God, now I need a pen.
Yeah,
I need to get out my golf
and
pencil.
I was out walking. I was on a walk.
You're on a walkabout.
I was on a walkabout, solo walkabout, and no headphones. I don't headphone when I walk. Right. I want to experience the world.
Yes,
I want to hear the birds chirping. Mm-hmm. And the homeless men vomiting,
right? Yeah,
what have you?
Yeah,
in my doesn't desperately wants to not be sketchy neighborhood in Los Angeles at the time.
Yeah,
and I had this idea, and I texted it, and I'm purposely not saying the idea, and I texted it to Todd, and then as I like rounded the stairs in my townhouse to where I have my little desk in the corner, I get this flurry of responses from Todd.
Yeah.
And it was magic.
It's like all after a putt, you know, like I'd putt And then before the next hole, I'd be like,
yeah,
tweet, text, and my buddy's like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, my buddy Mark, you know, he's got some ideas here. We're just, hey, don't worry about it. We're
just
good.
working it out.
Just working it out. And the freedom of the desert is like the freedom of like being in a pool of consciousness, like David Lynch would say. It's like golfing in Palm Springs is kind of like that shit that people who do TM, like they just dip into that vast thing, you know, because you're in the desert. There's nothing. It's just nothing but your consciousness can spread out.
Yeah.
And the ideas come.
Yeah. It was good. And then, you know, cut to this 5, 6, 7, 8 page. What is that noise?
Mark, right now you're in, you know, the original Kings of Podcasting garage and suburban Los Angeles.
Yes.
And that's an ice cream truck.
That's the ice cream truck.
Children on my block run up, and a man in there, a sketchy looking man, sells them ice cream.
So if the children run into the 1,000-foot radius, and I'm just sitting here, that's not a violation, right?
Of like, what?
The court can't complain about that.
Oh, of you?
No, I don't. Well, let's not worry about
it. No, if you don't have any ice cream in your hand, or on your person.
I'm not trying to attract anybody.
No.
Okay. We'll move on. Oh, the dogs want the ice cream.
Oh, the dogs, yes. Murray and Scout, my dogs out here, really want a taste of what's being delivered up the street.
So we wanted to do this project.
Yeah, and we put a lot of effort into it.
A shitload of effort.
And it was, I thought this project was going to be like, unlike anything anybody had ever done on a podcast. Yeah. And that's why I was really excited about
it. It was kind of unreal the way it was coming together. And there was so much energy around it and so many great original ideas.
Yes. And the great thing was, it was one of these things where it's like, I love writing this and I will love editing it.
Yeah.
We'll have to record it, and which will just be kind of like vomiting and then trying to make sense of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was very, you know, arced, like very story driven. It was like very ambitious, but also very doable.
Yes.
Because there was so much material on both sides. Like you generated a shitload of material.
As did you.
And then I get this email. Yeah. I get this email from Todd.
Do we want to? I guess we'll have to.
We don't want to get too elaborate, but I get this email from Todd, and the first sentence is just a link, just a URL. And then, you know, next paragraph. They might be doing exactly what we were doing.
And they might be about 50 episodes in.
And they might be incredibly successful.
Yes.
They might be touring it.
And there might be people who probably listen to this show who are big fans of that. The weird thing is that some of it was recorded.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe throughout the rest of the original Kings of Podcasting, maybe we'll dip into it.
You might hear it.
It might pop in at the end of a episode or two.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, hard to tell.
We'll see what happens. So
we're in the raw materials phase of the OG Kings.
OG Kings of Podcasting. So if you're listening to this show, let it be known that all the shows of this show, of this first season, are coming out right now.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this now, all the other episodes are available.
Yeah. Of this first season.
Of this first season.
Maybe there'll be a second one.
Maybe.
Maybe, you know, so best thing to do is to follow both of us on Twitter.
Yeah.
And follow, there'll probably be a Facebook page on the website.
Yeah.
And they can follow that, and then you'll know when the next huge dump of show comes out.
Yeah. OGKings.com. Which we managed to snake away from a dispensary in suburban Long Beach.
I thought it was a menthol cigarette company.
Mm, yeah. Like a menthol e-cigs.
Yeah,
and they went too big too fast, and they burned up all their money.
Right,
had to get something back out of it.
Had to jettison the website.
Yeah, had to sell it off at a low price.
Website goes first. I can sell these on the street.
These people don't know how. They don't care about websites. Why do we spend so much money on this website? Yeah. Good times.
Show one is over, and in case you just missed it,
self-absorbed questions from a French novelist. Have the boys lost their touch? It remains to see. Is there hope for the kings of podcasting?